recording. I'm very battery operated right now. So this is our third lesson in our series that the focus is the hip. And it's August 1st, 2005. And this lesson in Alexander Yanai is called Lifting the Feet. But I'm morphing many years of knowing different versions of this lesson, so I can't give it a number for those of you who need that. But it is in the Alexander Yanai series called Lifting the Feet, essentially. Okay, so with that said, why don't everybody just sit up and take your socks off if you have socks. And let's sit in a fashion that your soles are together, so your knees are to the side and your soles are together. Good. And just notice when you sit that way, how you put your feet, how close are your feet to allow you movement. So if they're too far away, stick them too far away, it won't feel so comfortable. And if they're too close, also it kind of jams you up. So there's fool around with where the feet should be, where you feel like you could have free movement back and forth with your pelvis around your hip joints. Okay, so let's put a little weight onto the left hand as our stabilizing hand and take the right hand and wrap the palm around the outside of the foot. So right hand to right foot, and you're going to wrap so you hold the outside border of the foot. Yeah? So wrap right around there so you can start to lift the foot into the air. So that's the idea, lifting the foot up and then putting the foot back down. Okay? And use your hand to help do that. And if you can you take your thumb and make your thumb be with all the other fingers, not in a grasping manner, but like as if you had a mitten with the thumb sewn in? There you go. So you'll notice when the foot lifts up into the air, there can be a little bit tendency for the knee to straighten. However, we're not after getting the knee fully to straighten and just cranking on the hamstrings, but it may tendency to straighten a little bit. And use your left hand intelligently. So in any Feldenkrais movement, we're really not doing any isolation. What can you do with your whole self that makes that foot go up in the air? So that's the idea. Make the foot lift in the easiest fashion. Good. Rest for a moment. Just rest in sitting. There tends to be with the thumb, if it's open, a tendency of flexor synergy. That's a physical therapy term, but like grasp, like you want to bend the elbow and like maybe feed yourself, right? You would grasp. When the thumb is married with all the other fingers, it neurologically kind of cuts out that grasping flexor synergy, because if you are doing grasp, you then are playing tug of war with your foot. And the idea is that the hand facilitates the foot lifting. So try it again, same thing, and see if within your chest, within your shoulder, are you playing a tug of war, or can you actually have the hand invite the foot to lift? What do you do with yourself? To say, oh, I'm not fighting, I'm not at war, I'm actually in synergistic motion. You feel how that changes it? You have to do something with maybe the shoulder blade. That's it. Now, each time you lift the foot up in the air, can you look down? So you begin to round yourself and you look towards your navel. And then you put the foot down and you have the horizon again. So we're making a spinal or postural change a little bit. You're sitting, your spine is fairly erect. The foot lifts, you go into a ball. Yes. Good. Rest that for a moment. Just put your foot down. Let's switch the sides. So now make the right hand be a support arm. There's a whole bunch to say about where can the right arm be to be a support arm, and how should it be to allow the movement of lifting the foot. So go ahead and lift the left foot. So your left hand is wrapped around the outside of the foot, and you lift the foot up and down, and just to your taste. There's many things that happen with the leg, one of which is the hip joint spirals inward. As the leg lifts, the knee, you'll find, starts, the kneecap starts to go from the outside a little more towards straight on up towards the ceiling, if not towards the inside a little bit. Maybe for some of you a lot. Now, compare the difference if you take your head up and back as you lift. What happens in the spine when you do that? Do that a few times. Just see what's the organizational change in the core when you look up and back as you lift. And then compare it to when you tuck the chin and you look down and you round. And see the difference in those two, and which makes the lifting lighter. So go maybe back and forth, go to one and do it several times. Where's your breath most free and most fluid? Okay. When you're done exploring that, just lie down, please, on your back. And feel the condition of your hips. Know that they are a ball and socket joint, a very, very deep cup in the socket, and that the socket is the pelvis. So what you do with your low back and what you do with your pelvis is moving the hip. You can't move your low back without moving your pelvis much. So usually those two are fairly tied together, and that's completely tied to the hip. It's 50% of your hip joint, the socket, 50% the ball. It's one way of thinking of it. And the hips are very interesting because, unlike the arms, the shoulder joints are also ball and socket joints, but their sockets are not joined. They have two scapula, two shoulder blades, separate. But not so in the hip. People say, you know, they're joined at the hip, right? You've heard that expression? Literally, the two sockets are in one bone called the pelvis. So what you do with one socket has direct ramifications on the other hip. They're literally joined at the hip. So it's a different situation with the hip joints than it is with the shoulder joints. Okay, let's have you bend your knees so your feet stand. Let's go back to holding the right foot in the same way we did when we sat. So I'd like you to take your arm from inside the knee and then wrap it around the outside of the foot. Now take your left hand and place it behind your head. So, sorry, right arm to right foot. Right arm to right foot? Yeah. So you get your foot, there you go. And you're going to gently facilitate the foot lifting upwards towards the ceiling. You're going to lift the head at the same time. Okay? So both the top of the head and the sole of the foot, as if they had imaginary strings like a puppet, are going to lift up towards the ceiling. And notice that for them to lift up towards the ceiling, something's going to press back into the floor. And how is it that you press back into the floor? What part of you presses back? Does your left foot help? Does it stabilize? Does it press into the floor? There's always sort of an idea of a, like almost like a, I'm not going to say this correctly, but I'm going to say what's coming to my mind, that if something goes up, something goes back, right? There's always sort of this duality idea. That's lovely. And which way does your face orient as you do that? What happens to your face? Where is the orientation of your face? Is it up towards the ceiling? Is it horizon level? Is it turned? Are you tucked at the chin? Please rest. You can rest with your legs long if that's comfortable for you. That last movement gives us a real sense of some pelvic motion. sometimes we think of the hip as just starting at the crease of our, like if we had a bathing suit, like I call it the bikini line, right? Or underwear line, right? We think of the hip there. But really, the hip is much more rooted in. So I want you to evolve your image of your own hip to very much, for the least of it, include the pelvis. Okay, bend your knees up. Let's switch the sides. Let's go to the left foot. Hold on to the left foot. The left arm is going to be inside the left knee. You're wrapping around the outside of the foot. And you're going to gently lift the head and lift the foot up. Bend the other leg so the right knee is bent and the right foot is standing on the floor. That way the right foot can do something to help it. Do you keep the right elbow way out to the side, or can you let it somehow find its way to nestle around the head and help? So we're not looking at making it hard. We're looking at making it easy. And where is it that you bend? You know, where's your point of bending? What's going back into the mat the most? Is it your low back? Is it your mid back? Is it your upper back? How is it that you make the back going back as the foot lifts and the head goes? And do you exhale? Yeah, you need a rest. I'm just chatting away. Rest when you need. Let it go. Thank goodness. Lying here, can you please lift your head and look down towards your feet? Lift your head up. Then put your head back down. Now, put your hand near your pubic bone, somewhere there. Now, feel that as you lift your head, if you take that pubic bone and let that pubic bone come up towards the chest, i.e. flatten out your lower back, that's going to help you lift your head. Right? You feel that? And then can you see if you can do it without doing that? Just like try and not do that with your pubic bone and lift your head. It'll feel like it weighs a ton. And it's hard to get it to horizon level. Right? But if you get the pelvic and the hip moving, the head can actually more lightly come up to horizon. It would be considered a posterior pelvic tilt in physical therapy or medical language. So it's flattening your lower back. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Rest for a moment. The other thing in that that helps is thinking of the sternum going down towards the anus. Okay, so if you put your hands on your sternum in the following way, I want you to aim your fingers, just find your sternum, just tap on it for a moment. Take both hands and put them and aim your fingers down. Think of your sternum like an Indian arrowhead, right? Now lift your head and push that sternum down, 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 down. And see if that helps your head lift too. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, the pelvic comes up, right? You flatten your lower back. That's it. Good. Yes. As if someone could whoosh the air out of you. Kind of like that. Yeah, good. Rest for a moment. Roll your head a little bit to the right and the left to release your neck. Believe it or not, when you get this idea going of how the spine can fold and how the hips can do that and how the pelvis can do that, the head will start to weigh less and less. And initially, I can remember being in my first year of Feldenkrais training, I thought we did a lesson. I mean, this isn't the lesson we're doing tonight, but we did just like an hour of lifting the head. I thought I was going to die. I mean, my neck muscles were horrible the next day. I thought, oh my gosh, what is this Feldenkrais stuff? That's because I had no idea how to integrate and root my head. My head began at my throat. And then, so of course it was really heavy. And the neck muscles did all the work. And it was horrible. It was terrible. I thought, this is calisthenics for the birds. I hate this lesson. But it's just because I didn't know how to root it down and make it lighter. Okay. roll to your side and sit back up and place your feet sole to sole again. This next movement is kind of interesting. Go ahead and go back to your right foot and hold on to it from the outside. And what I'd like you to do is wobble or lean over to the right side so that you can put your right elbow and down on either your knee or your lower leg. So wobble over and then wobble back. So it's a way of letting the right leg go down to the floor and then coming back. Yeah, you have to totally lean over to get that to happen. And then Moshe asks for a very strange thing. He says, when you wobble over there, he doesn't use wobble, lean, whatever. When you get over there and your knee is on the ground, can you make a little lift of that right foot off the floor? It's not exactly the same lift that we did before. It's a slightly different idea. But is that possible? And then you wobble back up. Neither your elbow's on the floor or your elbow's either on your knee. That's the idea. Good. And just feel, what does that feel like to do that? Is that possible? Strange idea. Good, rest for a moment. Just lean back on your hands, let your spine have a rest. Slouch into it. Slouch into it. Yeah. Lean on your hands and you can make a nice slouch. Your head can even drop down. Feels good to do that. It opens up the back. Slouching is kind of underrated. Huh?
Amen.
Amen, he says. Okay. Come on back up. And do the same thing to the left side. So you're going to hold the foot from the outside, wrap around. You're going to lean or wobble and encourage your left knee, left thigh to meet the ground. You know, use however you have to brace with the other hand or do whatever you need to do. And just enjoy the feeling of going off center. You know, what does that mean? How can you contort yourself to get down to the ground? And then if you can, when you're there, just make a little lifting of the foot. Kind of a funny little thing. Some people's heads are all the way down. Some people really want horizon with their head. If you want horizon with your head, it's going to be really hard. You have to be willing to let go of horizon and see the world from another angle and still stay who you are from that perspective. Good. Let that go and rest on your back. Sometimes I do Moshe's lesson and I think to myself, that's such a kooky move. What was he after? You know, some usually I kind of get it, but sometimes it eludes me, which keeps it interesting. Bend your knees again and stand your feet. Bring your right foot up and now you're going to hold it. You're going to hold the right hand around the outside of the foot, just like we were doing. From the inside of the knee, there you go. And now the left hand is going to meet the right heel and cup around the right heel. There you go. So now you have your foot with both hands. The left hand is going to cup around the heel. Yes, there you go. So you're cradling the foot. Now you're going to lift the foot up towards the ceiling and see how that goes and lift the head at the same time. That's nice. And pay attention that you facilitate a reach with your arms, that you're not trying to pull the foot into you with the arms, but you're trying to actually have the foot escort the hands and the hands escort the foot up. Yes. Yeah. So the chest has to soften. Yes, yes. If it gets too tiring, you're tucking the chin too. If you don't tuck the chin, the head weighs too much. Do you feel how that helps? And it's harder to reach. Can everyone do this for a moment? So we'll do a variation that one of the students did. If you keep a certain distance between your chin and your chest, it will inhibit the ability for the arms to reach. Do you feel that? I want you to think of the top of your head and the head coming to horizon. The top of the head coming to the ceiling, which means the chin will tuck. Yeah, so as if you had a ponytail on the top of your head and someone could pull it towards the ceiling. Good. Rest. And as always, rest when you need to. I'm being kind of chatty, so you rest when you need to. Let that go. Let that right side go. Yes. Let your neck release if it needs to. And in these movements where the head is unsupported, you are apprenticing the ability to get the head to horizon. It's something you knew how to do as an infant. Infants are like flexi-plexi, right? It's so easy for them to do that, even though their heads weigh a ton and they're huge. It's just their spine can service the head. We lose that a little bit as we age, or maybe we lose a lot as we age. So we're re-apprenticing a little bit in this lesson that idea. So if it's really torquing out your neck a little bit, maybe you have to let go and have a hand behind the head so you give it a little more help. Because the idea is not to build up a lot of tension in the anterior neck muscles. Let's switch our sides. So bend your knees again. Let's go to the left leg. You're going to hold left hand around the outside. Make sure the thumb is married with all the other fingers. Hold the heel with the right hand. And in this fashion, lead the foot up towards the ceiling and let the top of the head come. The place where you would do a handstand, the headstand. The top of the head. Not the crown, not the forehead, not the hairline. The top. Center. Of the head. Yes, bend the other leg, please. The left leg should be bent and the left foot standing so that you can do something with... I'm sorry, the right foot standing. So you can do something with the right foot that might facilitate this. Now, many of you are lifting in sort of a central plane, as if we had a central wheel, right? And you're following that highway or that wheel. Who says it has to be central? Might it go off center a bit? Might you go left? Might you go right? Explore with that. What would make that easier? It can be central. Your arm wants to be inside the knee. This, both arms are inside the knee, so the knee is outside, almost like you're sitting Indian style. Isn't it? It's easier. Good. Rest for a moment. This is a movement, if you were double jointed or some kind of contortionist, that is how they put their foot behind their head. You know, they grab the heel, they grab the foot, stick it behind the head. Cirque du Soleil, coming your way. Gumby. Yeah, Gumby. So my son is 7 and he's testing me, right? We'll get in, sometimes I do these things at home. And he says, Mom, can you bite your big toe? You know, can you sit and lift? Can you get your big toe? Can you bite? And of course, he's 7. He can like do that so easily. And I'm like, oh, I'm almost there. So, yes. So look. So he's biting his big toe. See? Okay. Let's all sit up. See if you can bite your big toe. See? Yes. So many of you can bite your big toe. Not a problem. Right? Putting it behind the head is a second level. Okay. Not that we are doing that. Although some people, it's so simple. And you know, I used to think that it was had to do with a lot of flexibility in the hip. And yes, it does to a certain extent. But it has a lot to do with what the spine can do or can't do. So a lot of those contortionists, maybe you look at the spine. You see what they're doing with their spine and their chest. And it's just amazing what they can, they maximize every degree in the spine. Okay, rest for a moment. Let's have you bend both legs up now. Good. Okay. So now you're going to do the following. Let's take the right foot again, but now we're going to join the left hand to the right foot. I want the left hand on the arch, right? Through and then joining to the outside. Yes. So you will feel that you grab yourself underneath the arch and then the hand curves around the outside of the foot. Bravo. Now the right hand is going to go behind the head. And in this way, it's a different kind of configuration. Right hand behind the head. Right hand behind the head. Lift the foot and let the elbow curve around your head and aim the elbow into this little gap you're going to make. The gap is a triangle space between the leg and the arm. There's like a space. And you're going to aim your elbow and your nose, your mouth, your orientation, your face into the gap or into that space. So the elbow right here is coming to the outside of the knee. The elbow wants to be in that triangle. Notice that makes a twist in your spine, right? So here you are. I'm going to look through that little gap. Hello, I'm over here. Oh. Yeah. It's a little bit on the twist. Good. Yeah, you can take a pause and you can go back to it. There you go. Good, rest for a moment. You can pick up the fact that it's a little bit of a twist because remember I said the last time, like a wheel, you won't really be on the wheel, like a center line. You'll be a little off and you will feel that as an asymmetry of pressure into the floor. It won't be very symmetrical. You'll feel it. So let's do the other side, which is what? Your left leg, right? So the right hand is going to go across the sole of the foot and through the arch and grab onto the outside. Just get a nice hold. And the left hand behind the head. I think I made left, right screwed up there. So your right hand is on your left foot. Yeah. There you go. And then you lift your head. Place the hand like you would hold an infant's head. It's not like loosely on the hair. It's not on the neck unless you have to brace your neck for a reason, then it can be there, right? But it's in a way that it holds the weight of the head. Are you free to turn the head? Or is it stuck? You know, how can it loosen up easy? And where should the orientation of the head be so that you can get it through that gap? And are you tug-of-warring with yourself? How can you eliminate that? Uh-huh. You rest when you need to. That's nice. Good. Let that all go. Feel how you are, having done this much of the lesson. Feel how you are. Let's come up to sit again with the soles of the feet together. That's it. Let's go back to holding the outside, right to right, left to left. There you go. So wrapping your hands around the outside of the foot, getting a nice hold. And remember that wobble movement that we did? Can you go and wobble to one side, lift that same foot a little bit? Taking your time. Wobble to the other side, lift the other foot a little bit. Lift the foot that you're wobbling towards. So if the right leg is down, the right foot is lifting. Uh-huh. That's it. Do you feel how this really makes you round down? It's almost like you're going to do a full clown roll. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Okay, let that go and just rest. Yeah, just rest either laying down or put your hands behind you. Rest on the stilts of your arms. Come back up into sitting. Soles of the feet together. Sorry, you just got down, but it's time to sit. Soles of the feet together. Let's at this point just take the right foot in the right hand. Can you please wobble over to the left knee and straighten the right leg and lift the right foot a little bit? There you go. And then put it down sole to sole, and that will wobble you back up. So it's a little bit different than we just did. That's lovely. Yeah. Yes, lifting the other leg. It's a bit like, reminds me of like doggy hydrant move, you know. How attractive is that? Good. Switch sides. Hold on to your left. Wobble over to the right. And use your right hand, however, the right elbow, however you want to be. That's it. And use the bending of the knee to wobble back. Sole to sole wobbles you upright. And feel free to lean and explore like a child. Like a just having the pleasure of moving your own body in interesting ways. That's it. Good. Resting when you need. Let it all go and rest on your back. Okay, let's bring yourself upright again into sitting with the soles of the feet together. Take a hold of just the right foot. Same sort of idea, handhold. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to lift it up, not to your full potential, just somewhere where it can be free to move. And then I'd like you to swivel the right foot to the right and to the left. Right? So like imagine you're a globe and you create an equator, right? Swivel. And as you swivel it around, feel free to wobble and lean, right? Because otherwise the hip can only go so far, right? So twist around yourself. That's it. Yes, twist around yourself. And you'll find when you swivel your right foot to the right, you wobble over onto the left hip and around. That's it. That's lovely. And let that left knee go out to the outside so it can bear some weight. That will let you go even further. Follow it with your eyes. Look, 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 look. Look right, look left. That's lovely. Good. Give that up and rest. Yeah, you feel that in your waist a little bit. Feels really good. Yeah, for many people, really good. So there's something about the twist that as you do it, if you stay out of the rounding, because we're no longer doing kind of a roll ball rounding thing, if you can get out of the rounding, you'll go further. So has anyone ever done like the yoga twist, you know, where they're really talking, where you kind of have your legs like in a pretzel and you're twisting, 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 and they really talk about sitting up straight. Right? That's to get you over the center of your hip joint so that, like a ballerina, you can twirl over that ball. You're not behind it anymore. You're twirling over it. So let's do it both ways so that you can feel what I'm talking about. Go ahead and sit up. And let's just go back to the right foot. So what do I mean by being over your hip joint versus being behind? Inherently, in the starting position, most of us have our pelvis tilted back. In other words, the back is backwards, right? Or one could say slouched. As you bring the right foot around, yes, the right foot, around to the left, right? I think I said right before, but around to the left. You come out of that slump into more, one could say, like an arch or upright. And that will spin you over the top of your weight-bearing hip, which is now your left hip. Do you feel that? You'll feel something in your waist and in your back. If you stay really rounded, you won't spin as far. You'll come forward and up. And use the hand. So here, take your hand, and you may have to do stuff with your hand. So in other words, I can wobble like here, but I'm behind myself, and so it's only going to twist a certain degree. But if I get up and over myself, I can go quite far. I'm forward, in other words. Instead of being backwards, I come forward. And you can use your hand to prop. You can think of going in the direction so that the left knee goes down. You're not having the left knee popped up, but you're launching over that left knee and then spiraling around. Does that make sense? It usually feels quite nice. Change your sides. So hold on to the other leg, which is your left leg, and put your right hand where you need it, and start just lifting it up, not your maximum. Feel how that is. Feel now we're swiveling over the right hip joint. We're moving the whole of you around that pivot point, which now is your right hip joint. Even though you have your left in your hand, you're swinging around the right hip joint. Up and over. That's it. Yeah, doesn't that feel lovely? By the way, when you reverse your car, this is how you do it, right? You go up and over the right hip joint and you turn 180 degrees. So you're not just looking in your rearview mirror, but you can look out the back. It'll avoid you hitting into flagpoles. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Maximize the hips. Rest. Oh, yeah, nobody likes to hear that. We've all done it, you know? You don't know what's behind your car. You haven't really looked, you know? What was that? Crunch. Ouch. Those little tiny fender benders. Where did that come from? Rest, everyone. That's nice. Going to do a couple more moves that are going to look at that idea with your waist and launching and being over the hip joint. So this next one is quite fun. Go ahead and bend your knees. Let's go with the right foot again. So hold on to it with the right hand. Same fashion. There you go. So here's the idea now. The head is going to stay on the floor more or less. You are going to lift the foot up towards the ceiling as if you want to karate kick the ceiling. Once it's at its maximum, you're going to arc it over, 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 and roll to the left. Over, over, until the foot hits the floor on the left. When the foot hits the floor on the left, will you please bend the knee? Let the knee just bend, right? Kind of just a little on slack. And now to initiate the roll back, whoop, stop, let the knee be bent. Elongate the heel and stretch it out like you're lifting the leg. Kick it out up towards the ceiling. It's maximum elongated, and then bend the knee again. That's your recoil. Okay? So you have two recoils. You have recoil here, and then you stretch, arc, 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 and then once it hits the floor, you make a little recoil. Because then you have somewhere to stretch out from again. So you stretch, lengthen the heel, lengthen. Don't play too much tug of war. Let the hand be facilitating. That's it. Now when you come onto your back, could you do the following? Hold on to the foot and be on your back. Can you keep the foot angled to the ceiling as if it's standing on the ceiling? Now pull the knee down to the ground. But keep the foot towards the ceiling. There you go. That's your recoil. Now, arc it up, 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 and over, 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 over. Reach it, reach it, reach it. Now recoil. Yeah. So, bend this a little easier. And maybe we put something under your head so it's nicer. I don't know. Maybe a pillow. Yeah. Rest when you need to. We'll have another time to do this. Bulky. You'll see, but yeah. Okay. All right, let's switch our sides. So both knees are going to be bent. Now you're going to do the left hand to the left foot. And start in recoil with the foot standing towards the ceiling and pull that knee down to the ground as if it could touch the ground, right? That's going to be what we're going to call your recoil position. Okay, and then kick up to the ceiling, lengthen and arc over now to the right and roll all the way over to the right. When the foot hits the ground, rest and bend the knee into recoil a little bit. Then to initiate it, initiate it through lengthening. And then over. Am I going, too much? Was that too much?
No, it's just trying to roll on his head.
Oh, yeah. Longer. Maybe we could pad you a little bit more. Anyway, maybe you don't go all the way.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Yeah. You just go a little and then recoil. Yeah, just do that. So this is a good point. You know, if there's the presence of pain, you stop learning. So you have to negotiate. If something's off or whatever, you imagine it in your kinesthetic sense. Who cares? It's only a movement, right? Don't mess yourself up. If there's a difficulty going on, if you keep hammering through it, that doesn't erase the pattern of the difficulty. It probably imprints it even more. So that's nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so relax for a moment. Everybody rest. And I'm going to do something very non-Feldenkraisian. Because I've been teaching this for a while and I'm still struggling how to get this moment taught. And I always resort to just showing it, which is what I'm saying, sort of non-Feldenkraisian. So you guys who are listening to this on the web, you'll just have to all explain it as best as I can. Can you come and sit for a sec? It has to do with getting power through martial arts or any kind of power in your pelvis. If you think of a martial arts kick, side kick, let's just say, right? And I'm not a martial arts person, but he was. Moshe was with judo, right? There's this feeling of using the waist to get power, right? The pelvis would tilt, pow, right? You have this kind of thing that happens in the waist and in the love handle. This last movement that we did can be done with incorporating that or not incorporating that. So, okay, I'll just show it, but maybe I'm thinking there's a way I can maybe teach it, but I'm already committed to showing. So, when you're here, and you're in your recoil here, you're on your back, for those of you listening on tape, your foot is towards the ceiling, you're pulling the knee down, I also call this a baby diaper position, that's my terminology, but in the kick, you can lengthen to here. Now, I'm just maximizing my hamstring length. Right, which isn't a lot with me, right? And it actually feels crappy because I feel like I'm going to shake in my knee, right? So there's that. And many people are like, they get to there and they're like, okay, that's as far as I can go. And then I'm going to arc over and I'm just basically log rolling, right? And then I'm here, right? That is just using your leg as if it only attached here and had no root in the pelvis. So if you think, I want to get my foot higher, how would I do that? I maximize the leg, but then there's that. The pelvis can lift. There's that. All of a sudden, this has left the earth, meaning my right pelvis, for those of you listening, lifts and the pelvis turns. That motion is the same as side martial arts kick. That's the power. You don't do that with the pelvis, you have no power. So when you go back to doing that, that's what I want you to feel. It's almost like your left waist drives into the ground and lengthens. That's the moment that we're looking at. Okay? All right. So, give a try. And it doesn't mean that your knee has to get all the way straight. It's about what you do with the pelvis. The other half of the hip joint. And the pelvis is going to turn this way. Turn that pelvis. That's that moment. Do you feel?
Yeah.
You'll feel the waist drive into the ground a little bit. That's the moment, Leah.
Yeah.
Do you feel? It's a very powerful kind of moment, you know. You really feel the use of your ribs and the use of your spine. That's the moment, yes. And whether you roll all the way over, I don't care. It's really about finding that moment. You want to try it on the other side? Yeah. Feels like you could have some power off that leg. It could kick the ceiling in if you did it that way. Uh-huh. Yeah, it makes it easier and actually more enjoyable. It's great rehab for the lower back to know that moment. Yeah. This side doesn't work as well. Yeah, yeah. Interesting. I'll have one stronger. Good. Rest for a moment, everybody. That's the moment. Yeah. Do you feel that? That's totally different. You're doing something different with your spine now. So often, you know, we all recognize this, right? You can recognize when someone's powerful. You can see two different dancers and go, oh, my eyes are on that one. Why? Because the movement's integrated. They're doing something with their spine that is with the movement, whereas the other person doesn't have the self-image is clear. And you'll go to the one, the better one is the one where it's all clear and just looks so delicious to watch. Okay, let's do the following. Let's bend both your knees. You're laying on your back. Bend both your knees. Bring your feet so the feet are towards the ceiling. Hold on. The arms are going to be inside the knees, and you're going to hold on to the feet from the outside, right? From the outside. There you go. Now, but the arms are inside the knees. The elbows are in the knees. There you go. Good. Put your head down if you can. Now, see if you can get the feet parallel with the ceiling, right? The legs will be wide. The legs will be wide. Now, drive one knee towards the ground. Pull it down towards the ground. It'll rock you a little bit. And then pull the other knee towards the ground. Go side to side. One leg will lengthen while the other drives towards the ground. And you don't have to roll all the way. It's like a baby playing with the feet. If that's too hard, you can monkey hand hold your toes. You can take your great finger and you can loop it around the great toe. So just take your index finger, make a fist, but put your index finger out. There you go. Loop your index finger around the great toe, like it's like a little monkey hole. And it just gives you a couple extra inches on your, and maybe we make the pillow now for your head. It's a little nicer, huh? There you go. So let this rock you slightly side to side, and you control that you're not falling and fully rolling by driving the knee down. Is that okay for everybody? Yeah, you can change your handhold if you need to the toes. In your knee or in your back? In your calf. Good. Rest for a moment. No, you're not being seen at all. So, rest for a moment. And Chloe, you rest, and then we're going to watch you for a sec because she's doing an interesting variation. But just rest for a sec. And then we'll get up and we'll watch that variation. Because there's many ways to rock with this. You okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just maybe walk. See how it is. You can also do this movement with straps, like yoga straps, around your feet. But the thing with straps is when you hold straps, you tend to go into that flexor synergy. It's very hard to, you have to train yourself to hold a strap tightly, but yet not engage the pecs and all that, not pull it, you know, to actually allow it to be connected. So straps have their pros and cons. Yeah. Okay, let's gather around Chloe for a moment. Oh my goodness. So go ahead and do what you were doing. Hold your feet however you wanted to hold them. And she's doing this idea of one leg coming up, one leg going down. But the way Chloe's doing it is as she's opening her leg into a V and she's rocking that way. So, and then she's going the other way. So for those of you, let me explain that a little bit more. As the leg straightens, so if she straightens her right leg, she's actually letting her right foot go to the floor and her whole body is rolling a little bit to the right. And then as she reverses it, the whole body rolls to the left. It's a completely different movement than the last one that we did, but one worth exploring. So then the converse is, if you put your feet like they're standing on the ceiling, and you drive one knee down to the floor, that is the way that you will be rolling. And the lengthening leg, it's the opposite rolling. And then you drive this knee down to the floor, and this one comes up like riding a bike. So now the lengthening leg, she's rolling in the opposite way. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? So let's explore both those variations.
So one thing to think about is that
the feet are always parallel to the ceiling in the second variation, which is more of the martial arts kick kind of deal. Yeah.
Why are the feet parallel to the ceiling? Because that's your standing posture.
Why are they parallel to the ceiling?
Because your feet are parallel to the ground when you're on the
Yeah,
ground.
Yeah. And it's going to make you do something in the pelvis. So, shall I describe both of those again? So, your feet, you're holding onto your feet in some fashion. Right hand to right foot, left hand to left foot, right? Okay, so the Chloe variation is just take your leg out like a V, right? Take your right leg out and let it go to the floor, and that's going to kind of let you roll to the right, and then put your foot back in, and your feet are not necessarily ever finding the stand, they're just coming into the crotch, in other words. And then put the left leg out to the V. You guys are, this is hard, huh? The Chloe variation is hard. You can't do it. Oh, no. Yeah. And it's one way of rolling a little bit side to side. It's like a very pleasant way. Babies do this. There you go. It doesn't have to be all the way to the floor. Good. Now let that go for a moment. Rest your feet. And when you're ready, do the other variation, which is to have the feet parallel to the ceiling and you drive the knee down to the floor, the opposite knee straightens and you will weight bear or roll slightly to the knee that's coming down to the floor, i.e. the knee that's curving into you. You will weight bear a little bit there and go back and forth. And you're going to feel that moment that I was talking about. That moment of martial arts. You will feel that moment. You will do something in the love handle area. That's that moment. You can lift the head and do it. Maybe that makes it easier. Yeah. It's like riding a bike a little bit, right? Like pedaling. One's kind of curved in, one's long. That's nice. So she looks like she's in pain. Oh, too funny. Have fun lifting your feet in Feldenkrais. Okay, rest. Everybody, please rest. There you go. Let it all go. Ah, there you go. Yes. Reciprocal action of the legs is something that we lose finesse with. How can two legs that share the same bone, how can you modulate it so that one leg can do something and the other leg can do something else? That they don't have to be doing the same thing even though they share the same bone. Think about it.
That's the situation with the legs. Not so with the arms. But with the legs. What you do with the right leg has direct ramification on the left leg and vice versa. So when you feel strong on one side, it might not be because you're stronger on that leg. It might be because the other leg is acting intelligently and knowing what to do to allow movement in the other leg. Your pelvis knows what to do. Your back knows what to do. You're not over-firing in the inner thighs. The inner thighs tend to fire together. When they do that, it makes the legs meld, which is the opposite of being reciprocal. So sometimes we need them to meld. But there's many, many more movements where reciprocality of the legs is how we use ourselves. So you need to know both. Good, good, good. Maybe roll onto your belly and feel that. Rest on your belly and feel the condition of yourself, your hips, your pelvis, your low back. How is your abdomen now? How wide are you in the waist? Is the waist present for you? Is the sacrum able to extend and flex? Can you breathe in the sacrum? Is it fluid? A fluid sacrum often means the hips are fluid and able to act in accordance with what they need to do. That's it. How are the inner thighs? Yeah. How's your breath? Very nice. Roll over onto your back one last time. Take a rest on your back. Or if you love the belly, stay there. People are like, oh, don't want to move. It feels so good to be on my belly. That's another thing that often we drop out of our repertoire is laying on the belly. So it's worth visiting. When we start dropping things out of our repertoire, it's a signal that we're narrowing our possibilities. We don't jump. We don't lay on our belly. We don't sit on the floor. So it's good to know that we can still do those things. Feel how you are. What's this lesson brought to you? Kind of a sense of yourself. Did you have fun? Okay, so please bring yourself to sitting, eventually standing. Just check yourself out in those positions and how things may feel a little different. Maybe your feet feel a little different, maybe it's the breath. Maybe it's a mood or just an overall general sense. So just feel. Take your time to stand for a moment. Just check it out in stillness. And then check it out in dynamic movement of walking or twisting or reaching or standing on one foot, you know, and feeling pelvic movement. The pelvis is the hip joint. You have better breath now as you move. It's a funny thing, you know. Things that demand good breathing actually usually organize good breathing, like singing or even martial arts, right? You do a few martial arts kicks, you're going to be doing better breathing because it stimulates it, because it goes along with that. Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you very much. We'll continue next week.